Tragically, the trap of greed has tripped up far too many preachers in our day. Some have gained international celebrity because of their smoothness of speech, while behind the scenes cultivating a lavish lifestyle that seems incongruent with their calling. Well, today on Insight for Living, we have the privilege of listening to a bold warning Chuck Swindoll delivered to an audience of men and women preparing for full-time vocational ministry at Dallas Theological Seminary. Let's pick up the message he started on Friday's program about the subtle temptations of greed as we begin in 2 Kings chapter 5.
Here's an interesting story. For the first 19 verses of 2 Kings 5, there's a man who, at least to begin with, is suffering from leprosy. He also happens to be rich, or at least has riches available to him. Through a chain of events, he's told about a prophet, Jewish prophet. So he puts his pride in his pocket and decides it's worth a try. And he went and attempted to get a hold of that prophet, and the prophet sent a messenger to the door and said, go down to the river here and wash, dip into it a few times, and when you come out, you'll be cleansed. Well, he was incensed. Doesn't he realize my rank? Does he know who he's talking to? I mean, is he so great that he's got to send a messenger to the door? I mean, at least I thought he would come and talk to me. There's no way I'm going to do that. I got rivers in my own country that I can dip in. How stupid an idea is that? He gets back and somebody prompts him, it might be worth a try. Since you haven't done that before. So he goes in, and you know the story, comes up cleansed. Well, just like now, when something great happens to an individual, and it's in the category of what one would call a miracle, most people in the world want to pay for it. So trust me on this. About $3 million worth of stuff he brings with him, and he wants Elisha to take it as a thank you. He comes genuinely. He comes in all gratitude now, and he says, here, this is, there are suits of clothes here, and there's silver and there's gold, and you just take it all. You just look, I'm cleansed. I don't have that terrible disease anymore. And Elisha makes it clear, I don't want your money. By the way, it's a nice line to remember. Think seriously about giving yourself as a under rower and a steward. You'll not only shock the recipient, they'll never forget the act of grace. But Elisha was just built like that because he's called the servant of the living God. He was truly a servant. So he turns him away, and the man, I'm sure, amazed that he wouldn't at least take something for the miracle. But Elisha says to him, verse 16 of 2 Kings 5, I will take nothing. And he refused it. Okay? Now, the problem with this whole thing is that Elisha has a servant named Gehazi. Who's hearing all of this, may very well have been the messenger that went to the door and turned him away. Or at least he turned away because of that. So Gehazi's been in the middle of all of this and has watched the possibility of the transfer of the money. And he doesn't have the attitude that Elisha has. So we read in verse 20, an alien thought is implanted in his brain. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, thought, don't go too quickly past that. It all begins in the brain, in the mind, in the imagination. Thinking, well, I'd like to have a couple of nice new suits. I mean, I don't need $3 million, but half a million wouldn't be bad. I mean, I don't want to be greedy about this, but I mean, the guy's probably offended. You see, when you begin to rationalize, you could talk yourself into anything, even another woman who isn't your wife, or another man who isn't your husband, or another church that isn't God's call for you, or another role that he doesn't have for you to fill. In Gehazi's place, he thought, behold, my master has spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, and look how that's always a great line to use when you want to justify it, you know, before God. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and I'll take something from him. The thought is now already in action. I'll find him. I know which way he went. And so look at what he does. Watch closely. Verse 21. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. He pursued him. When Naaman saw one running after him. Now watch the lies as they unfold in the life of this man. He saw one running after him. He came down from his chariot to meet him. He said, is all well? You okay? Everything okay back there at the shack where you and Elisha hang out? He said, all is well. That's a lie. It's not well with him. He's in the middle of deceiving himself. My master has sent me. That's a lie. But of course, when you want to get something from a rich guy and you got to build a case, then you got to build it out of lies. Since it's not based on truth. And Naaman could see through it if he didn't word it this way. And he's not through lying. He says, behold, just now, two young seminary students from Dallas, sons of the prophets, have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Give them a talent. That's a lie. But it makes it sound better if you're going to get it for a couple of seminary students. They're always poor. They always need something. So let me raise a little money for them. They can put a new suit on their backs. And two changes of clothes. It's all a lie. And Naaman said, well, be pleased to take two talents. And he urged him, and he bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of clothing and gave them to two of his servants. And they carried them before him, and it all looked so good. And Naaman left feeling great. At least they took something. I feel better about it. And Gehazi thinks, now I got to get that from those guys because they're not gonna touch it. Look at the next line. When he came to the hill, he took it all from their hand. It's all for him. He acted so pious. And he says he deposited them in the house and he sent the men away. See you later, guys. They departed. He went in and stood before his master. This is where it gets pretty ugly. Be sure your sins will find you out. You mess secretly with pornography, it's going to catch up with you. It ain't a secret. And if you're doing that, it's only a matter of time. So either deal with why you're doing it and stop it, or get out of Dallas Seminary. Don't live a lie. Don't let us help you cultivate a habit that's going to ruin the very thing we're trying to prepare you for. Don't go there. Tell yourself the truth. But see, this is the moment of truth for Gehazi. And Elijah says to Gehazi, well, where have you been? Are you ready for another bold-faced lie? Gehazi said, your servant went nowhere. See, when you lie to yourself, and then when you lie to someone else, you'll have no problem lying to your master. I didn't go anywhere. Your servant went nowhere. And he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? How did he know that? He is a man of God. God speaks to Elisha. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? What are you thinking? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence white, a leper as white as snow. Okay. You've listened very carefully, and I appreciate it. Obviously, I feel passionate about this because I've seen this. Details are different. Greed is the same. And don't think for a moment that I don't know what it is to be tempted, because I fight the temptations just like you fight them. That's why I turned out so ugly. I've been fighting them all these years. And thank goodness I've yielded to just the ones that I've been able to handle and deal with. None of them scandalous, thank God. But some of them have scared me to death when I've thought about them. Let me tell you my story. Now you're all really listening. When I graduated, it was my privilege to have opportunity to go one of four places. One was Dayton, Ohio, one was Chattanooga, Tennessee, one was Castro Valley, California, and one was to stay right here and remain on in the most enviable position one can imagine as a graduate from Dallas Seminary in 1963. I could serve as the assistant to Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost. I've been serving at Grace Bible Church for two and a half years, and Dr. Pentecost felt he needed an assistant. He had no one to help him at Grace Bible Church. And he said to me, if you're willing, I'm willing to have you. And we would love to have you interviewed and we'd love to have you be our assistant pastor. I thought about the opportunities, and Cynthia was carrying our second child. We had lost a baby between our first and this pregnancy, so we were sort of afraid. She was bleeding from a car accident we had had, and we were afraid of losing our sweet second baby, as we had lost the first one in a miscarriage. And we talked over it at length. I knew the people at Grace, and they knew me, and it wouldn't involve a long move, and I could serve there, and I wasn't ready for a pastorate. I knew I wasn't, and I thought, if you're willing, Dr. Pentecost, to help me and train me, I'd consider it an absolute honor. And I really was honored. They amazingly said yes, voted me in, and I became his assistant pastor. Now, Dr. Pentecost at that time was the voice, especially in the realm of biblical prophecy. If there was a conference held and it was on that subject, if you didn't invite Dr. Dwight Pentecost, you were missing something very important, unless you brought in John Walford. If you had them both, you had a packed house. And they all wanted to hear what either one of them said about future things. And our church at Grace grew. We built a new building, and it became little by little full. And it's now full with two services and a Sunday evening service. And what a joy to serve in a situation that is just, if you've ever been in one like that or will be, you'll know what it is to feel the thrill of such growth and excitement. And never once did I watch Dr. Pentecost call attention to himself. He, in fact, was painfully shy. In fact, he said to me on one occasion, "Chuck, after the service, I don't always know what," I've never told anybody this, but I'm telling you today. He said, he's gone, so he won't corner me afterwards. And he said, I don't know what to say. People bring their babies, and I think, oh, nice baby. And I, he said, "You kind of have this gift of gab." I thought, is this a compliment, or is this? So he said, "You know what to say. Could you stand near me?" And I said, "Dr. Pentecost, I would be honored to stand near you. As a matter of fact, maybe it'll rub off." So I was there with him following service after service, just year after year. It was a marvelous experience. Now, when he traveled to speak, of all things, he asked me to preach in his place. And the church was packed. Of course. Because they thought he was preaching on that Sunday that I was going to be there. But how easy for me to think, wow. And how few guys, as young as I was and as inexperienced, had such a captive audience. Then I had a visit from an elder at Grace. Never forget it. Love the man. Name was Jim. Jim said to me one day, "Chuck, you got a few minutes?" I said, "Sure." He said, "There's something I want to say to you. It's kind of a warning." And I said, "Sure." And I quickly went back thinking, have I done something? Have I said something? You know how you'll do. And he said, no, don't. Nothing's out of line yet. But he said, "I just want to tell you, you're in an enviable place. And we on the elder team know that. Maybe even more than you do. And we just want you to realize that all this popularity for you, and I'll never forget the words, is a borrowed popularity." Isn't that a good line? I said, "I know it, Jim." He said, "Don't ever forget that. You don't deserve these crowds. It's not your flock." And he said, "No, nobody's said to me that they think you're trying to think like that, but they know you're human." And he said, if you're not careful, before long, you will start to think alien thoughts." What he was doing was wanting to guard me against the Gehazi syndrome. Don't get caught up in it. Yours is a borrowed popularity. They didn't come to hear you. They thought the man was on, and he was gone. You don't know how many of them went, "Oh, brother." That helped me so much. And I still remember it to this day. When I stepped into the role as president of this school, I was the least likely candidate, but you know why it worked? Because I followed great men, and I stood on their shoulders. And they hadn't made a mess of things, and they were men of integrity. And there was nothing I had to clean up. I just had to build on what was already established. And to keep my eyes on the role of an under rower and a steward. That's what I'm good at. Not much more, but I'm good at that. I can grab that oar, and I've been pulling that thing now for over 55 years, and I love it. And I sometimes think, you're too good, God. Thank you for a book that just preaches itself if I just get out of the way. Thank you for saying these great things and revealing this about Gehazi and not telling them all about me. Thank you that I can go after Gehazi and to remember that most of the success is a borrowed success. Jesus is the one that drew them in. He's the one they worship, for goodness sake. And Jim left and turned around and stood at the door and he said, just remember, you got one main calling. Just love the flock and get out of the way. And every time I see Jim, I thank him. It's been all these years. One of the greatest contributions he made in my life, he made that quiet morning so that I wouldn't experience a 9/11 in my ministry. Let's bow together, please. Lord, if we had one single prayer to offer, it would be, glorify yourself in my life, in our lives, be glorified, Lord. Help us in the process of learning all these great truths so that we can read the recipe and serve the meal, so that we can row better and more faithfully. Lord God, may we remember we wouldn't even have a ship if it weren't for you. There'd be no meal if it weren't for your word. Thank you for blessing us often in spite of ourselves. But remind us that you share your glory with no one else. All of it belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Speaking to the students and faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, you're listening to a message from Chuck Swindoll about the subtle temptations of greed. This is the first in a brand new series of 6 messages. And remember, you can hear Insight for Living online as well by listening to the audio on our website. You can also send a program link to a friend. Just go to insightworld.org. At Insight for Living, we receive so many wonderful comments from those who hear Chuck's Bible teaching. A friend from Georgia left a message on social media that said, "Chuck has been my long-distance pastor for approximately 30 years. And another from Montana is a church leader who described how one program inspired her to publish books, especially for children. Well, these comments make us smile, of course, because those who serve our churches as pastors and shepherds have a multiplying impact. And so we're praying that Chuck's new series called Straight Talk for Seminary Students will motivate a new generation of pastors and church leaders as well. In addition, we're asking God to bring more friends alongside the ministry of Insight for Living. Specifically, we invite you to become one of our monthly companions. Our monthly companions give a donation every month in the amount that best suits them. And in doing so, they're providing the fuel needed for taking Insight for Living all across North America and even around the world. Maybe today's the day you'll step forward and become a monthly companion too. It's quite simple when you call one of our friendly ministry representatives. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That telephone number again, 1-800-772-8888. or you can sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll delivers a powerful message to those who serve the local church, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Subtle Temptation of Greed, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.